Hi, everybody. I'm a geographer. I've always kind of favored myself as a computational geographer, maybe because I was educated and informed and inspired by Peter Gould and Donna Paquet, who always urged me to kind of look beyond or behind the interface to understand why things work the way they did. And for the last 30 years, I've been able to interact with a variety of different organizations and organization types as they've tried to use GIS technology to solve real problems for real people. So for your consideration today, I'll offer a series of observations from that set of experiences. The first is that I would suggest that government and community leaders all over the world have very large aspirations. They all seem to say the same things. They want a safe city, a well-run city, a city that offers a vibrant tech community that keep very smart people in the community, that stimulates business, and ultimately a prosperous city where citizens, stakeholders, and everybody can live effectively. Now, the challenge in, I can only imagine the challenge that they deal with after somebody like myself leaves is they're just swimming in techno mumbo jumbo. There are so many megatrends swimming around that kind of confuse and conflate the very issues that they're trying to solve. And I think that the biggest challenge I've seen is, and how do these trends map out into those various initiatives that people in these positions want to carry out? The second thing about these trends is I've personally, as a geographer, see geography in every one of them, although that's not generally exposed on the surface. I honestly started out my life wanting and aspiring to be an astrophysicist, so I was quite inspired by Carl Sagan and these words, because in bringing the concept of this particular junk drawer of presentations, I really functioned and really thought of engagement as one of the key things, and I think Sagan probably said it best. This is what we aspire to deliver people, or how government leaders aspire to enable people to understand how their world works in the context of urban systems. I think sometimes that's pictured as, well, let's put stuff out there and people will immediately understand it and be informed. And I would suggest that open data has been a lot about that. Open data was, I put data out there and it's people will come and figure out what to do with it. Well, that worked for very smart people, not necessarily for the rest of us, like myself, who doesn't have time to look at raw data and try to analyze it. And I guess the visual that came to my mind for that is I'm like you, busy on constantly moving, and I want to be able to consume information that's relevant to where I am, where I'm going, and where I've been. That's how I kind of think about decision making. And then it really started having me wonder, you know, as people formulate their strategies for civic engagement, do they have any understanding of how many people they're trying to get? Most people can't actually answer that question. What percentage of your population would you say you'll be successful at engaging to have an effective citizen engagement strategy? If we were talking about Twitter and we were Paris Hilton, you would say I'm in the billions. If you were, I won't carry that one too far. Now, I figured I probably ought to show some statistics, so I went to Pew. And it appears that what we do for a living is actually exciting to people, because most people use spatial or mapping or location-based services to function now. Most adults, at least in America and elsewhere, have a smart device. They use that smart device, as Pew would suggest, predominantly not to be lost anymore. But we also use it for convenience. How many of you ate out last night and used one of your favorite apps to find the closest restaurant to fit your particular dietary profile? So we're seeing location being consumed and used in many kinds of applications, which makes it really popular. Now, let's bring that back into a city or urban system. The biggest challenge these organizations now face is having the context for how GIS systems can actually help them get real things done. Because they do not want just technology, they do not just want algorithms, and they do not really care about machine learning, although they hope it's going to be helpful. So what I'd like to share are a series of patterns that my colleagues and I have observed over many, many years of how people use GIS systems inside of their organizations to solve real problems. I would propose this as just some common patterns. It certainly isn't an exhaustive list of the ways people use GIS, but it certainly is the most common ways. So from things like being able to do basic mapping and visualization, all the way out to sharing and collaboration to facilitate people doing their work. Now, what I found interesting about these patterns is they almost become the Legos for building solutions that align to smart cities or to citizen engagement. So I would suggest, like here in Pinellas County, their citizen engagement strategy has been built using a variety of these patterns. Number one, constituent engagement. They actually want to communicate to their citizens, but they'd also like to receive feedback from their citizens. They'd want to provide mapping and visualization because their citizens care about things that are near them. I would also go as far as saying the first law of geography would extend to how people think about geography. They only care about the things that are closest first, and then they'll open their minds to things that are farther away. If we take that a little bit further, where does the GIS system really come in? Well, it comes in on the bottom tier. Data management, analytics, and of course, decision support. Because as an elected official, my job depends on my ability to serve my citizens. Now, switching the topic just a little bit, I would suggest that we're also innately geographic. I learned how to become a geographer from my mother. I didn't go to the university for that. The first lesson my mother taught me about geography was, Christopher, look left, look right, and look left. That little geographic lesson has served me well my entire life. My mom never said it was geography, but if we were in London where she grew up, she would have said, Christopher, look right, look left, look right. Now, we as geographers use all sorts of fancy terms, and I think one of the challenges we face is we have to kind of rise above the algorithms in the fray. So I'd like to forward the second bit of work from my colleagues. How we try to explain what it is that geography and GIS is capable of delivering for people, don't really think down on the algorithm level. We're trying to raise it up. So the number one thing is you can actually understand where things are. Now, I know it's not as exciting. Making pin maps is never exciting. It is just point locations after all, but it is useful nonetheless, especially if you're hunting Pokemon and you want to see where all the Pokemon are or where they're going to be. Now, I want to move farther to the right as a computational geographer because that's where I believe the intrinsic value really comes to the forefront. However, I have to understand that this is a continuum and people will find value wherever they find value. So my colleagues and I have found great use in being able to describe geography or geographic analytics or spatial analytics using these more common terms. I hope you would consider adapting them as you talk to executives and city leaders. Just to give you an example, you know, we can't really talk about machine learning per se because that seems like a science fiction topic or a scary thing to a lot of people. So we really have to talk about making predictions, and that's something that many people can actually understand and provide a really simple use case, and then they can make the logical jumps from this concept to others very rapidly. So I would leave you with my three kind of points is location intelligence affects outcomes. So I think we all have to be super diligent. As somebody else said earlier, I think there is not only ethics involved, but I think there's some level of morality because when we put things on a map, people actually believe that. The second is data provenance and algorithm transparency. Well, I think Dana for providing the code for maps is how I learned the algorithms. And I thought of that as my first essence into algorithm transparency. And I suggest that we need to continue that moving forward. But I would also suggest that a GIS system in a community is a first-class system, not unlike their CRM or other records management systems where authoritative information exists. And then last but not least, I would give some reference to Roger Tomlinson and say a GIS system actually always considers the people, the process, and the technology to provide a balanced system that enables people to do real work. Thank you.